Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. Good to have you with us. Final hour of power right here on a Thursday afternoon. Quan Martin's going to give us a call in just a little bit. He's tied up right at this moment. But stay tuned for that, starting Commander safety. And they unfortunately are dealing with some injuries, obviously, with Will Harris and Trey Amos banged up. Practice updates basically look like this. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, was in uniform at the start of practice during the media portion. So was Jaden Daniels. So were a bunch of the veteran rest Commanders players. No Terry McLaurin, no Noah Brown, no John Bates, according to Ben Standing. I put up everything that Ben tweeted a little while ago up on my Twitter. So there you have that. So for a second day in a row, Jaden Daniels did at least practice to some degree, probably limited, but who knows? We'll have to wait for the official injury report. And Terry McLaurin did not practice. So, I mean, listen, it's not like we should absolutely declare anything as official, but it's looking more and more like Terry's not going to play, John Bates not going to play, Bill probably will play. I'm still unsure on Jaden at this point, whether they err on the conservative side or whether they feel good enough. And I can't, I mean, I wish I could tell you I know, but I don't know. And I don't know if anybody in the media does know because they really don't tell you. All right. Thursday night football coming up tonight. Arizona, Seattle. We got to get to some of that, but let's get back to the calls right here, right now. Let's get to, Paulie on line three. Get Paulie in here before Quan Martin joins us. What's up, Paulie?
Yeah, head up to the W, man. Yeah, you was doing your best not to take my call, wasn't you?
Yeah. I try and avoid your call every day, Paulie.
Yeah, you just filibusting your ass off not to take my call. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know you don't want me to interrupt Loser Talk Radio. Here you talking about? Yeah. Once again, you got Cowboy D up, and nobody wants to hear him tell us the obvious, which we already know that his team is bumped. You know they bumped.
Right.
You got to tell.
Because I know
that.
I didn't get that point across, yeah. Right?
You know, and the problem with you is you're not funny. You think you're funny. You're not funny. That's why that segment doesn't go the way you want it to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just loser talk. Mm-hmm. All right. Two, don't ever disrespect the tight end position again. Talking about you want to run a route. Man, you'll never get open. The only way you'll get open if they put a steak and cheese at the first down marker. Then you might have a chance.
Now, that was actually funny for somebody who has never been funny before.
Because I'm a funny guy.
Uh-huh. I'm a funny guy. What's so funny?
Guy,
am I like a clown? Am I here to amuse you? To make you laugh?
Am I here to amuse you? Game talk, though. Yeah. Game talk, man. This is simple. This is simple. First of all, I'm not with you with this. Oh, they desperate and they mad. That's just you. I think you scared of your own shadow. That's what I get from you. Because now we talking about a Mike Shanahan team, Bill Parcells, John Harbaugh, you know, a coach with some established chops, as you like to say. You know what I mean? Then I would give you a little credit on that. We talking about Raheem Morris right now, who clearly doesn't have, at this point, you know how I said Dan Quinn has the ear of his team? I can't really say that about Raheem Morris right now. So I can't, and I understand how you're feeling, but I ain't going to go into this game thing. We're going to get a complete 180 from how they came out and played last Sunday. Because it's a disconnect somewhere with that team over there. So in saying that, man, we come out there and we play that same game we played last week, physical nature, you know, smart football. I know we turned the ball over, but that was on a kind of not a fluky play, but, you know, a quarterback doing maybe more he should have done. But outside of that, we've been taking care of the ball this year, and that defense stopped the run. That's the key. You know, that's the key. Stopping Bijan Robinson and making him one-dimensional and making Penix question himself again. So, and I'm not scared if they put Kirk Cousins in the game, man, whatever. If they got to put Kirk Cousins in the game, that means we up by a good amount, and then we could tee off them on our pass rush. So I'm not going to sit here and be scared about Atlanta being mean and angry and all that, because I don't know that. I don't know.
Loser talk. It's loser talk.
Exactly. It's loser talk. So let's just keep them disconnected.
Hey, have you copyrighted loser talk as like a – have you copyrighted that? No?
No, okay. I'm sure you will.
All right. Hey, I gotta go. Quan Martin is calling me. Somebody much more important than you is calling. Okay. Yeah. Bye. Bye, Paulie. Goodbye. 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 That is Paulie. Is Quan ready to go? All right, great. Joining us right now on the hotline right after practice in Ashburn is Commanders starting safety Quan Martin. Hey, Quan, it's Chris Russell here in D.C. Thanks for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. How you doing,
I'm doing great, doing great. How was practice today? I know you guys were in the bubble because of the rain. I mean, I don't know. I hate humidity. I don't know how you feel about humidity.
Man, I'm from Florida, so yeah.
So you love humidity.
It's been that way my whole life.
Yeah, I can't stand humidity. Oh, it's awful. But anyway, I'm glad everything go okay. Good couple of practices to start the week.
Yeah, man. Everything been good. Just practicing with the guys, just being able to fly around and, you know, get ready for the game.
Before we get to the actual game and some of the challenges that lie ahead, how different is this week now? I mean, you're used to changing in and out during camp, but obviously you and Will formed a pretty good tandem to start the year, and now Will has the broken leg, and now you have to work, obviously, with veteran Jeremy Reeves and Tyler Owens a little bit. How has that component, I guess, so far in practice and meetings and whatnot worked?
It's been good, man. I think all throughout OTAs, camp, you know, I've had work with pretty much everybody. I've been on the field with all these guys, been able to communicate with all these guys in the meeting room, off the field, whatever it may be. So it's just different guy, honestly. Like, yeah, I think the standard's still the same, communication's still the same. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just expect guys to come in and, you know, still play to the standard.
Joe Witt talks about standard all the time and expectation and what he preaches. 2 weeks ago, I guess, after the Green Bay game, he said, eye discipline. What was his message to you guys this week? Because overall, you did a pretty good job, but there were a couple of big plays that were made by the Raiders, one early, one late. What was his overall message to you guys?
Same thing, man. Just being disciplined, just knowing where your eyes need to be, when they need to be there, and just really what to look for and how teams try to manipulate our eyes, manipulate our coverages and stuff like that. So I think communicating a lot pre-snap, post-snap, and just being able to all be on the same page.
Quan Martin with us, nice enough to join us after practice in Ashburn, excuse me, as the Commanders get ready for the Atlanta Falcons. So speaking of that, Quan, I wanted to ask you this. How difficult is it to maintain that eye discipline? Like on that first play of the game that the Raiders ran, they ran a play action boot, and I see you streaking down, right? Because you see the run action, and then they go over the top. So when they sit, when Joe Witt says maintain eye discipline, and that's a big part of it, how are you supposed to balance that when you see one thing and it looks like one thing, but yet they're trying to obviously do something else?
I think in that situation, man, you just got to kind of take that extra step, just hang there a split second with just knowing like what the teams are trying to do and how they're trying to manipulate our reads and different coverages. So just really just being able to stay disciplined throughout the play and just let the play fully develop before you just trigger.
Is it harder for a defensive back to play, and especially safety, to play zone coverage? Because, like, you're obviously playing an area. You're not playing necessarily a man. And that man could, I don't know, zigzag all over the place. Maybe he's behind you, and he tries to, you know, help his quarterback out and go to a different spot. Like, how much harder is it to do that? And, again, to maintain all of your principles, all of the rules that you guys have to maintain when playing in zone as opposed to playing man?
I love playing zone, man. It just gives you an opportunity to see the quarterback, just be instinctive. I think, you know, guys are taught to sit down in the zone, just find the open holes. But I think when guys have, like, great eye discipline and able to read the quarterback, just read and react, really, is kind of how we say it. So just being able to read and react to the quarterback.
Quan Martin of the Washington Commanders with us. You've been here, what is this, year number three, right?
Three, yeah.
Oh, my God. you know, you've seen a lot, right? You know, tough first year, obviously, for everybody. Then you saw the great rise. I mean, you know, you were a big part of that playoff win in Detroit, obviously, and everything that has kind of gone on here. Do you sometimes have to go, wait a second, where am I? Like, what the hell? I mean, it's changed so radically from the misery of year one, and you're just trying to learn to where you guys are now, where you're expected to win every game and be a big, and you're a big part of the fabric.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed a whole lot. I think expectations is, you know, always to win every game, go out and just put ourselves in a position to win every game. And, I think, you know, with the guys we have in the building, around the building, the staff, just everybody who, you know, kind of got their hand in the pot, I think that's all, that's, you know, really been the case, just going out expecting to win every game.
What is Revo with his veteran experience, and while he's never really gotten, I guess, the exact chance to play full-time at safety, what does he bring to the table just because of how great he is in so many other areas, leadership, special teams, and as a safety? I mean, you guys played a bunch of three safety looks during the preseason, during practice. You've been in the building. You've been in the locker room, in the meeting room for 3 years with him. What does he bring to the table that maybe the casual fan might not realize?
He brings a lot, man. Just having that experience, just being a guy for me to lean on and just really just ask questions, man. He's been one of those dudes who's always been in my ear since day one. Since I stepped foot into this building, he's always been a guy I can kind of go to for answers. And just coming to me, just teaching me the game, giving me the game, football, life, like whatever it is. So he's always been that guy for me, man. And for me, it's really no surprise, you know, the way he's played on the field with the opportunities he's had.
Before we let you get out of here, Quan Martin joining us after practice. We appreciate his time right here on the Team 980. Obviously, you got a challenge on Sunday. A lot of fans, Quan, as you know, or maybe you don't know, are probably looking at this. Ah, they got beat 30-0. This is a week-to-week, a quarter-to-quarter, a half-to-half league. I mean, you guys know that they are going to come out pretty angry and wanting to show that they're not about what they showed on tape and on the field last Sunday in Charlotte. How do you kind of mentally prepare for a team that you know has talent like they do, and you guys saw them late last December? How do you prepare mentally for that and block out the noise that, oh, they're not good, or oh, they're, you know, whatever? How do you kind of separate the two, I guess?
Don't listen to the noise.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I wouldn't listen to any of the noise, Quan. I wouldn't listen to any of it.
But no, man, just it's the NFL, man. Like, every team has great players, every team has great guys on the team, man. And you know, that's why they say any given Sunday is, you never know what the record, the last game, you know, it doesn't really tell a story for what the next game may look like. So just going out, like I said, man, just expecting to win. And like I said, they're a great team, and I don't think last week really, you know, it's what they're about. So I think we're going to get their best shot when we step foot on the field. So just being prepared and just being ready.
Yeah, I hear you. Before you guys go to Atlanta, and probably, I guess, when you guys are getting ready to go to Atlanta, your Illinois Fighting Illini are going to have a tough test. USC coming into Champaign, huh?
Yeah.
Have you been able to watch your boys so far this year at all? And what do you think of the job Bielema and them are doing in Champaign?
Yeah, man, I had the chance to catch a couple games this year. I actually caught the one last week versus Indiana. They got beat pretty bad. So I think, you know, this week they're going to come out with a chip on their shoulder and, you know, just hopefully get back in the winning column. So Coach B is a great coach. I had him for 2 years, man. I know what he's all about. So I know he's going to have those guys ready coming out to play this weekend.
What is that atmosphere like there? Because I lived in Chicago for 6 years, but I never got to go to an actual game there. I know it's great for basketball. Is it a good atmosphere, like a daunting atmosphere, even though it's a somewhat smaller environment?
I think it's pretty good, man. I think over the years it's gotten better, just with, you know, the records and, you know, Illinois finally being able to win. So I think it's definitely gotten better over the years, man. So I would expect nothing less than great, honestly.
All right, last thing for you, and then I'll let you go. I know you got all sorts of injuries on the offensive side. I'm not going to put you in a tough situation because, you know, it is what it is. We'll hope and we'll see what happens. But your head coach, DQ, got just lit up on the sideline the other day and then still made a coaching decision to send the field goal troops out and then came back for the second half. What did that inspire you guys in any sort of weird way? Or is it just like, that's DQ?
I mean, that's him, man. That's how he lives. That's how he coaches us. And, you know, that's the standard, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get knocked down, you know, you just got to get back up and keep going, man. So he did that.
I got you. Hey, Quan, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Good luck on Sunday. I know you guys got your hands full with Bijan and Kyle Pitts and Drake London and all the rest of the Falcons, but best of luck on Sunday, and thanks again for doing this.
All right, thank you.
There you go. That is Quan Martin, Washington third-year safety, talking about a bunch of different things there, tried to answer, you know, ask as many relevant questions as we can, and Illinois taking on USC at noon. At noon on Saturday in Champaign. I can't wait to watch that game. By the way, I talked to AMAC before the show, and I think tomorrow, at the behest of Ben Conti at Fat Poet 10, we're going to shine the light a little bit on AMAC and his college football repertoire.
Yeah.
Right? We don't need an expert. We need somebody who can just get after it. Just get down and dirty with it, right?
Mm.
Like they do down in the dirty South.
Yeah.
Right? You're just going to kick it up. We're going to do usually like the top three games of the week, get AMAC spin on it. I'll obviously be a little bit involved in kind of running the segment, but he will be the expert, the aficionado, because of what he does Monday through Friday on Sirius XM, right? And well, because we like AMAC, so we want him to shine. And we know he doesn't know anything about the NFL because he's a Giants fan.
But
no, I'm just teasing.
Whatever. just a quick note about that USC game.
Yeah.
Obviously, Quan talked about that Illinois loss last week to Indiana, who everyone had Illinois' favorite in that game. So Indiana coming in there, getting a big win. On the heels of last year, Indiana making the college football playoff and saying everybody thought that was fraudulent. They didn't play a tough schedule. They canceled their home-and-home with Virginia for 2026-2027. So that was a huge win for Indiana. Illinois is trying to get back on the rebound. And Jordan Maiava, the quarterback for USC, is having an amazing year, leads the nation in quarterback rating.
Yep.
So that should be a sneaky good one. With Illinois trying to get back in the win column, USC putting together a good year so far, and maybe a lot of people are bubbling and starting to say, like, they're flying under the radar. Can USC become that prominent powerhouse with the new Big Ten. That'd be a sneaky good.
I'm interested in seeing that game because you know two things from Illinois. Generally, you're going to get a pretty good defensive effort, and generally you're going to run the ball, and they're going to try and slow the game down a little bit, right? And they're at home, and it's a 9 a.m. start for USC. On the road in Champaign, and that's why we asked Quan Morton about that, right? So, sneaky kind of feeling. You mentioned the Illinois-Indiana game, right? Illinois's got to be, again, doesn't always work, but they're going to give a better, they're going to be out for a little bit of redemption. Not revenge.
Yeah.
Redemption, right? So, to me, I kind of see that as a nip and tuck game, close game. Maybe Illinois has a chance to pull an upset, but I think Illinois probably keeps that game close. As a matter of fact, on the way in, I picked them. I think it was plus 6.5. I did a three-leg parlay with ECU tonight, I think minus 4 or 4.5, and something else tomorrow night. I can't remember the game I picked. I got to look that up. But I already picked Illinois to cover, I believe it's 6 or 6.5. So thanks to Quan Morton. And again, we will get a couple... We'll get a college football preview, right? College football analysis, baby, from AMAC tomorrow. Normally, we'll try and do it on Thursday if we can fit it in because we got all of our other picks and stuff on Friday, so we'll try and spread it out. But because I sprung this on him, and quite honestly, again, hat tip to Ben Conti at FatPoet10, who really likes AMAC on the air. So that's the genesis.
I have one person fooled. I'm just carving out market space one ear at a time.
I wouldn't say that. I would say you're a bit misguided at times. I would say you're a bit disillusioned at times.
That's nice of you.
But I really like your contributions to the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you believe me, right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, no, of course. No, of course I can bring that up. So yesterday after the show, real quickly, we'll tell this story. Yesterday after the show, we're kind of hobnobbing over on the 106.7 side, where they have lots of personnel. CK, the boss, comes out and says, "You're never going to believe this. Wait, you got to hear this before you go." He says, "I had a dream about AMAC." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
"You had a dream about AMAC." He's like, "Yeah, AMAC was scheduled to do updates, on-air updates, and took off gambling with B-Mitch before, and then he was scrambling to find a replacement at the last second."
Yeah.
I said, "That is just weird."
Yeah, me doing on-air updates sounds like a universe unknown.
But
already.
You going gambling with B-Mitch,
exactly,
and skipping out on an assignment is just so on you.
Yeah.
I mean, you might take three-day weekends, but that is so on you. You are diligent. You are professional. You are on time.
Yeah.
You are
definitely not a gambler.
Prepared. You are not a gambler.
At all.
You are not a gambler at all. Mm-hmm. You're a hardworking young buck.
Mm.
What else can I say?
I mean, keep showering me with nice things. I'm getting you're showering me.
Uh-huh.
Ben Conti's asking me to come on air. The boss is having dreams about me.
I mean, like, really?
Things
are looking up for you, man.
Yeah, but I'm a law of averages guy. Uh-huh. So it's like things are good right now,
right,
but that means something.
Oh, that means the poop is going to hit the fan at some point?
Yeah, something has to balance it out. So maybe I should, like, quit while I'm ahead or something. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talk to CK. Maybe I should like just be like, "Hey, my time has gone so well here. I think I should like bow out early."
Yeah. I mean, for me, the bad news just continues. I just got some bad news in a text while we were doing the Quan Morton interview. I got to decide whether I want to even say it on the air. It just sucks.
We'll talk.
Just sucks. All right. Well, hopefully the good news continues for my guy, AMAC. So we'll do the college football preview tomorrow. Again, thanks to Quan Morton. He has struggled a little bit. Yes, I know. I'm acknowledging. Again, that's why I asked him about the first play. I asked him about eyes and zone and so on and so forth. I got it. Not everybody is playing great, right? But it's a long season. And he's a big contributor. Physical downhill, obviously, had the two turnovers or interceptions takeaway in the Detroit playoff game. So just chill. Okay, just chill. But thanks to Commanders PR, Sam, for making him available as well. We'll take a quick timeout, come on back, get your trending alert in a couple of minutes, and wrap up the show with a Thursday night football preview and dum-dum of the day still to come.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
See, now, if you played more of this stuff, Mac, I know this tune.
Well, that was almost a...
Yeah, it gets scary sometimes. And yeah. For me as a producer, like, they walk it right up to
uh-huh.
the line.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the bad news that I just got, I can say it. Just heard back from the vet. My dog's got a torn ACL in her right rear leg. I mean, it just never ends. I mean, it just never ends. It's just nonstop. I can't. There are days where literally I don't know how I do this job with everything that I've got going on in my life. Stuff that you guys don't even know about. Stuff that you don't even hear about. I mean, I often joke like I have no idea how I make it to and from work every day because of the absolute lunacy on the roads. And the horrible, I mean, yesterday was a disaster driving home on 66. I mean, if I told you like literally what goes on in my life every day, it would just blow your mind. And yet, got to work, right? Got to put on an entertaining show. And all you guys do is yell at me. I mean, you don't like the Cowboys. You don't like Cowboy B. You don't like when I bring up Jaden Daniels' mom, even though I'm defending them. I mean, you guys don't like anything. All right. Thursday night football preview. Let's get after it right here. Oh, by the way, on the Commanders front, real quickly, we don't have the official status right now of Jaden Daniels, but you can pretty much bet that Terry McLaurin's not going to play. Jaden, I'm sure, will be listed as questionable, but... You know, and they probably won't give us the answer to that and all that stuff. The Commanders right now are favored by 1 point. Right now. Favored by 1 point. They opened up favored by 1.5 points. And it dipped down earlier in the week, like as in, I think it was yesterday, all the way to Atlanta -1. Meaning it swung from a total. Like... you know what? Hang on 1 second. I hit the wrong button here. I should say this. Washington opened up a 1.5 favorite. At one point earlier this week, September 23rd, was that Wednesday? Yeah, I guess it was. No, it was Tuesday. They were 3-point favorites. Yesterday, they were 1-point underdogs. And today, currently, the consensus, according to BetQL, is they are 1-point favorites. So the line has gone from opening at -1.5 to favored by 3 to underdogs by a point to now favored by 1. Do you see how people could get confused based on why that's important? Here's the reason. It's not important. Again, as I always tell you, the odds makers, they set the line. Then they keep adjusting the line based on public money and sharp money, right? But there are influences that basically they don't control. They do control the opening line. But then it goes where the public money and where the hidden money is going. Not the hidden money, the sharp money is going. I mean, this game is going to be a close game. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. I'm trying to get you the sharp better report as of last check. I just reloaded, so I guess just recently is for those of you that buy into this stuff, which again, you know, I don't. But it's important to some. 35% of the money coming in is on the Commanders. However, 63% of the tickets bet are on the Commanders. Now, again, we don't know when those tickets were bet, right? But in terms of 35% of the money is coming in on the Commanders. So 65% of the money is coming in on the Falcons and 37% of the tickets. So more money, less tickets on the Commanders. Falcons. BetQL, just for whatever it's worth, has it as Commanders -3. So that's a 2-point difference in the current line, and they project a 24-21 Commanders win. Tomorrow we'll have our official picks along with our Super Six Pack. We're not doing so great so far, so we got to do better. But man, this is a really tough game to pick because it's on the road. You don't know about the injuries. Have a better idea after today. Maybe tomorrow by the time we make the picks, we'll have official statuses. That's why we wait until the 3 o'clock hour to wait as long as we can. But this is a really tough game to bet. This is a really tough game to pick. This is a really tough game to analyze. 3:35, Team 980, a Thursday night football preview and Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, indeed, the Commanders are done with practice for the day. You just heard Quan Martin, Commanders veteran safety. He's going to have to work with Jeremy Reeves and Tyler Owens a little bit more. You know, I didn't even ask him about Darnell Savage. Should have done that. My bad on that. But he is going to have to carry the load with Will Harris with the cracked fibula and out for at least a couple of weeks. Jaden Daniels was at practice. So was Bill. No Terry McLaurin. No Noah Brown as well, and no John Bates. We'll again officially await the injury report, which should be out in the 4 o'clock hour. Linnell will have that for you. Meanwhile, Justin Fields returned to practice for the New York Jets today, who are 0-3. He'll start if cleared from concussion protocol. They don't play until Monday night against the also 0-3 Miami Dolphins. The Capitals are in preseason action tonight, right here on the Team 980 from Hershey Park and Hershey Park Arena, home of the Hershey Bears, against the Philadelphia Flyers. Again, you can hear the action right here on the Team 980 starting at 7. Meanwhile, in NHL news, and this is potentially big, Alexander Barkov of the back-to-back defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers needed help leaving the ice after practice after appearing to sustain an injury to his right leg to open up training camp, and he was said to be getting further evaluation. And Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars going to miss at least 4 weeks with a collapsed lung. No Nationals today. They come home for their final homestand, but we do have two football games tonight. Army ECU at 7:30 down at East Carolina, and Thursday night football over on the Fan, Seattle and Arizona, both 2-1. A preview of that game coming up next on the Team 980, and that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980, about 18 in front of the hour, 4 o'clock on the way, and that means burgundy and gold today. And Linnell Willingham, he'll take you through on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up tonight, State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. It is Thursday night football, 8:15, 7:30 the coverage, 106.7 the Fan. We'll have the Caps and the Flyers from Hershey Park Arena right here on the Team 980, so make sure you're locked into that. Starting at 7 o'clock, no Alex Ovechkin and others. Obviously, as Ovechkin still tries to get through whatever this injury is, lower body. The Seahawks are favored by 1.5. For, again, whatever that's worth, and as you know, not much, but I it means a lot to a lot of people, so I cover it. Just because it doesn't mean anything to me, it means a lot. I did bet that the Seahawks would cover the 1.5 and go over the total. I think I went over the total, if I'm not mistaken, on my bet earlier today, which is 43.5. So I know this. The Seahawks are getting Devin Witherspoon back. And they're getting one of their other safeties back. So that's going to help them against what can be a pretty good passing attack from Kyler Murray when he's on. When you have Marvin Harrison Jr., when you have Trey McBride. And don't forget, they lost their starting running back. What's his name?
Connor Jr.
Jonathan.
James Connor.
James Connor.
Yeah,
James Connor.
I don't
Connor.
Know why I put Jr.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's a junior nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, the Commanders roster is like loaded with juniors. James Connor.
Yes.
So they're more apt, I think, to probably try and stretch the field and throw the ball. So I was just kind of, even though Seattle's pretty good on defense and whatnot, and they're without Zach Charbonnet, so they have Kenny Walker, who's their main running back, of course, so on and so forth. Now,
I just wanted to
you were going to add something, right?
Yeah, I don't want to add anything. I just want to ask you a question because watching some of their games last year, it's early in the season, so I haven't really dug into the Cardinals this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about their passing game and Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out and coming into the NFL. Everyone looked at it as like, this is a generational player. Him mm-hmm. and Malik, they were like 1-2. I was high on Roman Dunze, but that's beside the point.
Well, that looked pretty good last week.
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought he had great hands to match Marvin Harrison. Malik Nabers has that separation and that burst there and mm-hmm. can stop on a dime that the other two don't have. But besides the point, I just remember all through last year, he was not getting the targets. Like, Roman Dunze, I can understand because he went into a veteran wide receiver room with two or three other wide receivers. So his target share, okay. Cardinals, all they have was Trey McBride, and the constant talk behind it was, where's Marvin Harrison's targets? Where's Marvin mm-hmm. Harrison's targets? And Kyler Murray even said, it's not my job to get him the ball at one point last year.
Right.
It was
almost like there was a disconnect between.
Yeah, and I mean, he did have a bad season to start Marvin Harrison Jr. But if you're drafting a guy
mm-hmm.
and he's a generational player, I'll give Daboll credit, not to be biased here. They came in and gave Malik like 10 targets a game. It was to the point where I was like, this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thoughts about like, and it seems like that same trend with, I haven't watched too many games. It's only 3 games in
right.
this year. Last year it was a problem, but it seems like the targets are still down this year.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about them getting him involved in the game plan? Because I still think he's a talented young receiver.
He's got 10 catches for 142. That's a 14.2 average, 1 touchdown. He had a big drop over the middle
Just on the season, though, right? This is not one game you're talking about.
No. I'm just saying last Sunday. But he's had some drops.
Okay.
There is no doubt about that. But
no,
I'm just saying
10 catches. That's
the 10 catches. I'm sorry, are for the season so
yes.
far.
Okay.
And they played three games, right?
Yes.
So, but in terms of your question about targets, right? Just again this year, right? Because this current year. 6 targets last week against San Francisco, 3 catches, 44 yards, and again had the big drop. 5 targets the week before that in a win against Carolina, 2 catches, 27 yards. And in week 1 had the touchdown at New Orleans, 6 catches, 5 catches, 6 targets. So
like
he's had no more than 6 targets in any one of the 3 games so far this year.
A bit absurd to me. I don't want to overreact, but for someone who was drafted 3rd as a wide receiver, like, I understand the drop, but Malik Nabers has dropped too. He had that big drop against Washington. That didn't stop them from feeding him the last week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right on target. Maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe for whatever reason. Like, if you remember week 4 last year, early on in that game, Kyler hit Marvin Harrison Jr. on a 4th down play in like the back corner of the end zone, and Marvin made a tremendous outstretched catch against the Commanders. And I was like, oh my God, here we go. This guy's going to go off 3 touchdowns, and then you almost never heard of him the rest of the game, right? To your point from last year, okay, check this out, right? He had 116 targets overall, 62 catches, 885 yards, 14.3 average, and he had 4 touchdowns in the first 4 weeks, really 4 touchdowns week 2 through 4, so 3 games. After that, he had 4 touchdowns the entire rest of the year. So it's not like they're not using him. He does have 9 career touchdowns, right? He does have over 1,000 yards now as a receiver. He did have 116 targets last year. A couple of games, he had 10 targets against the Rams in week 17, 12 targets against Minnesota in week 12, 11 targets the week before they played Washington against Detroit. But he only had, to the point that I was making, he had that early touchdown on 4th down on an outstretched catch, and it was just a great play because it was a quick time throw from Kyler Murray, if I remember correctly, and it was not the best throw in the world, but it was in a spot where ultimately MH Jr. could, you know, catch it and outstretch for it, whatever. So you got to give him credit. But he only had the rest of that day. He only had 4 catches, 5 targets for like 42 yards, right? So, and the Commander secondary was not very good last year. So anyway, the point of the matter is there's some sort of disconnect. Now, maybe it's whether, you know, of course it could be, you know, look, people have said the same thing about Terry here. Well, why don't they get Terry 13 targets a game? Well, if you ask Cliff Kingsbury that, if you ask Jaden Daniels that, what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you that they go where the coverage dictates. They don't specifically feed the monster, if you will. So maybe that's the thing with Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't know. Maybe it's drops. I got to look up his drops.
He has less drops than Malik. And he's come out with, like, I think the thing that separates him from Malik Nabers is mm-hmm. he has better hands. Malik Nabers is like a better out of cuts, can stop on a dime. But for me, just looking at him last year, again, I haven't watched the games this year, he still has the crazy hands and can make acrobatic catches. It's just, it seems like him and Kyler aren't on the same page at times, but all of that aside, the plays aren't being drawn up for mm-hmm. him, where he's taking a step back and he's looking at Marvin Harrison first. We don't see that too much from them, and that's my...
Well, guess what? If you're going to beat Seattle
mm-hmm.
at home, division game, with Witherspoon
yeah.
coming back,
yeah,
you damn well better get him 8, 9, 10 targets tonight.
Yeah, and I
8 to 10 targets tonight.
They have a dog at tight end, and I get like him getting those targets, but I just, when it comes to wide receivers, options. I want to,
I'm with you.
To see Marvin Harrison get
more involved. You know what I feel about Kyler Murray. He's very inconsistent. He's talented. He's off to a good start for the most part. Four touchdowns, one interception, throwing the football and whatever. Listen, Kyler Murray, there is no more greater definition of week-to-week, game-to-game, half-to-half than Kyler Murray. He could look awesome in the first half tonight and suck in the second half. He could look awesome in the first three quarters and stink in the fourth quarter. He could struggle for the three quarters and then look great in the fourth quarter. You never know what you're going to get. But, I mean, yeah, if you drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., what, third overall or whatever it is.
I think right? it was fourth overall. It was fourth. It was
whatever,
Jaden.
Yeah, whatever.
Or Caleb Jaden. Right. Drake May. And
good point. Him. Good pull. But ahead of Malik Nabers, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you damn well better find a way to get him involved in the offense and get them on the same page. Period. All right, we got to take a timeout. That's Thursday Night Football. You can hear it over on The Fan. We'll have the Caps and Flyers preseason action tonight at Hershey Park starting at 7 following Linnell Willingham here on the Team 980. Coming up next, a teaching assistant and a fart bomb rounds us out for Dumb Dumb of the Day. Yes, indeed. Everybody back in school, everybody doing their thing, including a South Carolina teaching assistant who decided he wanted to have some fun. Alexander Lewis, a 32-year-old man, a real live adult man, has been arrested by cops for using and causing damage with what is being called, quote, an internet-acquired spray designed to imitate fecal odor. Farts. That's right, flatulence. He has been busted and arrested for repeatedly using fart spray and accused of hurting students' health and, check this out, it got worse, causing $55,000 worth of damage to the school, to the air conditioning system. Again, down in South Carolina, you have to have air conditioning, right? It's hot as hell. So they thought initially, like, there was this foul odor, and inspected the gas and propane lines, tested air quality problems, no problem, nothing comes up. But then they did an inspection of the school's air conditioning system, and they found damage that cost the district more than $55,000. Now, the details on the damage was not exactly known, but again, it cost $55,000. Also, according to some parents, my son, quote, has asthma that has been triggered multiple times because of this, and I had to take him to the doctor three times, one parent told a local television station while asking not to be identified. And on top of that, officials say exactly how they sniffed out Lewis as the suspect, but he was arrested last Friday and charged with disturbing schools as a non-student and malicious injury to property worth over $10,000. He was booked into Florence County Corrections Facility, $9,000 bond, and released on Saturday afternoon. That is a stinky situation. Yes, I know I'm running late. Linnell is next. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to you for being a part of the show. Burgundy and Gold Today. Thanks to Quan Martin as well. Burgundy and Gold Today next on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.